From WBFO News, this is Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata. Hi there.
Hello, Mark.
Well, when we last talked 5 weeks ago, you expressed the hope that we would meet in person the next time and that we got together. And unfortunately, that's still not possible. So here we are once again getting in touch.
And who knows, Mark, it might never be possible to go back to the way things were.
Well, I certainly hope we can do one-on-one interviews at some point. Let me start by talking about one of your personal joys, and that's gardening. We're going to talk a lot about that to start, because in this pandemic, especially on some of the nice days we've had, I've walked my neighborhood and saw a lot of people working in their gardens. And given the extremely cold nighttime temperatures we experienced this past week, isn't it still too early to be planting annuals, though?
Oh, it's totally too early. It surprises me that people who should really know better, who have lived in Western New York for decades, are still like, think that they can go hang a basket of petunias out at this time or put some basil out, and or even small perennials. I don't start seriously gardening until somewhere between May 15th and May 20th. It's always been that way. It's not really going to change. But I think a lot of people have gotten into growing vegetables and they're growing things from seed. So those people are really smart. They're saving money and they're going to have great food gardenings when it's time. Even those people, some of them, I just think people want something to do. And gardeners just, I mean, and I don't blame them, but even some of the seed growers, they have started their seeds too early. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're still in the plants are in the house. They're way overgrown. They're root bound. So it's people are jumping the gun all over the place with gardening. And I totally get why that's happening.
Well, what can you do at this time to get your garden beds ready?
Well, you can certainly look at your beds and get your weeds. I just I'm trying to do like a little garden column more or less weekly. And I was suggesting, I put a link to a weed album that we created in the Western New York Gardeners Facebook group, or rather my partner Johanna Dominguez did. And also the Department of Environmental Conservation has an invasive plant guide. And those invasive plants are invading many of our gardens. And so you want to get rid of those. Look at your soil, maybe test your soil, see does it have enough, nitrogen's the main thing, also phosphorus and so on. And there's soil tests that you can buy or send away for. Maybe you need to add some compost, maybe you don't. You can think about mulching within reason, although, you know, you might want to wait until you get all your planting done. Mm-hmm. But and you can... there's some cold weather seeds that you can that you could have started all along, especially a lot of your greens, a lot of your lettuces, your arugula, stuff like that. That's great stuff to plant at this time outside. And well, kale, things like that. Cold weather plants, cold weather vegetables are good now. And just, you know, get things cleaned up and planting large shrubs and trees. It's cold weather is always a good time to do that.
Interestingly, last year we received some potted plants for Easter, and I took the bulbs, put them in the ground, forgot about them, and sure enough, they popped up during the Easter season. It was delightful seeing these colors, and then when the snow fell, you know, seeing the flowers amidst the snowfall, it was kind of unique.
Yeah, people are worried about the weather for the plants they hit, like their bulbs or their even roses, I saw an inquiry. I think it was a person who's not originally from the U.S. because they thought the snow would hurt their rose bushes, which of course it will not. Mm-hmm. It will not hurt your tulips. This is a great time to drive around and look at all the tulips and daffodils that are still in bloom, and they'll be fine. This weather will not bother them.
You mentioned vegetable gardens, and do you expect more people will be growing their own vegetables this summer, given the pandemic?
I know they are.
Okay.
I know they are because we've got this Facebook group, and people are just, I want to start a vegetable garden. What do I do? So that's a little hint that probably this is someone who's never gardened before, and we give the best advice we can. It's kind of late to be starting seeds inside, but many of the nurseries, and this is why nurseries are considered essential, Mark. They sell food plants. Mm-hmm. So they come under the agriculture category.
Yeah.
So you can go to your local nurseries and buy some vegetable starts. Too early to plant them, but you can certainly get them and you know, start deciding what kind of vegetables you want to grow.
Now, there's a contrast I see here. People might have more time to spend gardening, but that could be so because they've been furloughed or laid off. Thus, they might not have disposable income to spend at nurseries. Is there a way of doing gardening inexpensively?
Well, again, seeds. But like I said, it depends on the germination period. And in my column, I also have a link to a really handy seed calculator that tells you exactly how long it takes to grow something from seed. And you have to look at those times because we have a shortish gardening season. Mm-hmm. So you can't start tomato seeds now. It'll take just forever. You know, you might not see tomatoes until November. You might never see them.
Yeah.
So it's limited in terms of seeds, which is the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that, I think that there are plant sales and giveaways going on. I know Massachusetts Avenue had a plant sale that might have been this week, but and I think that there are some giveaways of vegetable starts. But I also think that small vegetable plants for a 6-pack or a 4-pack, they're really not expensive.
Many summer festivals and activities are being canceled this summer. What do you know about the Buffalo Garden Walk?
Garden Walk is not being held as we know it. What's happening is that you'll be able to access video tours of back gardens. You can self-guide yourself to look at front gardens, which are open all the time anyways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't close off your front garden. Well, you could put up like a huge big fence, but I don't even think that's allowable under city statute. So yes, your front garden's always open. So the garden walkers who have front gardens on the walk, there'll probably be some sort of online way to find that, and people can drive around or walk around and look at those, observing, you know, proper distancing and safety. And then there'll be a lot of online features. And I believe that the Open Gardens program will be open, where people can go into front and back gardens on Thursdays and Fridays. That's happening.
Let's move on to some other topics now. You had a chance to talk with Dr. Timothy Murphy, an expert mm-hmm. in infectious diseases at the University at Buffalo. The Q&A is posted on the Buffalo Spree website. Now, in it, you touch on his thoughts about a possible second wave of coronavirus and how successfully local hospitals are responding to the current wave. What was your takeaway from your conversation with him?
Well, I thought he spoke a lot of common sense. It wasn't, you know, his answers were very easy for anyone to understand. And he emphasized the importance of wearing masks and the physical distancing and being careful. And we will simply not be out of the woods right away. And he thinks that a second wave is highly likely.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Murphy said he was especially troubled by the impact coronavirus has had on African Americans. And what specifically did he say about that?
Well, if you look at the stats that have been made available to us by the governor and also by our county executive, you can see that African Americans are suffering from this in larger percentages than they are represented in our population. So that tells your story. This is the problem of health disparity, as Dr. Murphy calls it, is something he's been working on for a long time. And he actually assembled a task force way before coronavirus to start looking at this. And there's lots of reasons for this. Many of them are in essential worker positions where they, you know, it's harder for them to stay safe. I don't think everyone knows all the reasons yet, but we just know that it's happening and it has to be fixed.
And maybe we'll have some answers when this is all over and they can sit back and look at the data.
It's something that's been, I think it's an ongoing problem.
Yeah.
And this is just pointing it up, but it's been going on all along.
Yeah.
It's a long-running problem.
Now, on a daily basis, especially as I read the morning paper or listen to the news on WBFO, my anxiety level rises. I'm sure it's the same for you and for our listeners. What did Dr. Murphy have to say about dealing with this anxiety?
Well, he's doing his best to, I think he said he's trying to visit. He exercises regularly. I think that's super important. I think that's number one, is like keep your health going well otherwise. Try to eat as healthy as you can and get regular exercise. That's the main thing. I mean, I wouldn't blame people for some comfort food eating right now. So I wouldn't really stress that as much. It's just, exercise, walk every day, either walk outside or walk in, do whatever it takes to keep your body moving and healthy. That was his main thing. And then he also mentioned just trying to keep in touch with his, through Zoom and so on, with his children and his grandchildren, our family. So I don't know about you, Mark, but I have a lot of these Zoom meetings with friends and siblings, maybe about 9 or 10 a week. It's really helpful.
We've been doing FaceTime with my grandson, and my son who's a doctor, but he's not involved because of his specialty with the current crisis. So he's staying home while my daughter-in-law, who is an infectious diseases doctor, is obviously working 7 days a week. So he's staying home with my grandson, but there are still times when he has to do some work. So he puts Francis on FaceTime, and Grandma and Grandpa entertain him to give my son a half-hour break to go on the phone or do whatever he needs to do work-wise. So we're babysitting.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, we're babysitting virtually.
And that's exactly what I was talking about. Find a way. Same thing with exercise. You can't go to the gym, but there's other ways to do it. And find a way to keep in contact with the people whom you love that, you can't be with right now. Mm-hmm.
I started jogging again. I mean, I gave it up many years ago because of the toll on the knees, and I was using equipment at the YMCA. But now that that's not available, I went back to jogging, and I do a light jog, and my legs are in fine shape. I don't believe I'm hurting them. Yeah. So I'm getting that exercise.
I do want to quickly mention, for those who like to walk around and look at interesting things, is that there's a really cool outdoor art installation thing that's happening this week, and it's called Proximity. Mm-hmm. Resource Art New York is running it, and it's throughout mainly the Elmwood Village, but also in North Buffalo, a few in Tonawanda, and a few in South Buffalo. Artists who are putting installations on their front yards.
That sounds interesting.
So we have it up. There's some information about it on the Spree Facebook site, mm-hmm. and you could certainly go to resourceartnewyork.com and check it out. But there's a way to walk and stimulate your brain as well by looking at some interesting art.
One more topic I want to talk about, because Buffalo Spree is so much about food and the local restaurant scene. Just how worried are you about the ability of restaurants to survive these troubling times?
Very worried. I'm trying to do what I can to support our local restaurants who are offering takeout. I don't know if you're ordering takeout or not.
We have.
If it's mm-hmm. something you're comfortable with, yeah. That's great, because you can help. You've got Glen Park and Eagle House in your neighborhood mm-hmm. are both offering takeout, I'm pretty sure, and others, Creekview. So we try to once in a while focus, actually pretty much ongoing on some of these restaurants that we know are offering takeout to encourage our social media audiences and our web audiences and our e-newsletter audiences to patronize them. But even so, Mark, that's not a plan for survival to continuously offer takeout. When the restaurants open, what will that be like with all the distancing that might be required? I mean, Mark, can you imagine going out for a romantic meal with and wearing masks and having your server wear masks? And I mean, it's kind of impossible to imagine.
Exactly. And I'm worried that, I read about some restaurants are barely making a profit when every table is filled on a busy Friday or Saturday. If they reopen and at 50% capacity, let's say, does that even work for them from a financial perspective?
Well, and Andrew Galarno in the Buffalo News has been doing excellent reporting on this, and he interviewed Mike Andruszewski, who has Cantina Loca in my neighborhood, and Mike said it only works if it's crowded. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's his economic model.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, it's a casual restaurant. It's not like a high end fine dining restaurant, and you go there for the crowd. You know, for the, I mean, that's why. Well, as someone who lives in Allentown, I can assure you that people seem to love it. The more crowded it is, the more they like it. So, I mean, without that being possible, it's going to be a brand new world, and it's not going to be a great world for a lot of restaurants and, of course, bars.
And I would say this, if you can, tip.
Oh, yes.
You know, when I went out the first time, I just paid because that's what I'm used to doing, just paying the you know, picking up and just paying for the meal. But I started reading. And
you should tip it just as much as you were sitting in the restaurant or more.
I did.
When 20 to 25% is what that should be the norm. Yeah.
The waitress who was waiting on me at Lunetta's, where we like to go, it's in our neighborhood. You know, I made sure that you know, I left a tip for her, just because she's not getting to have sit down people, and so her income is impacted. So yes, I've started tipping for takeout. I mean, it's
just the same. Same as you were there.
Exactly.
And I would and I would actually say more.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, you have some good news for your subscribers. There will be a June edition of Buffalo Spree.
Yeah,
cool.
It won't come as early as they might expect, but it should come. We're working on it. It's with just a few people. We're just trying to get something out for our subscribers, and because we know that our subscribers would like to have something to read while they're stuck at home, anyways, mm-hmm. and we want it. You know, I love doing what I'm doing with the social media and so on. I mean, I'm still sharing the kind of information that, you know, we feel helps people at this time to somehow enjoy life, because you still need to enjoy life. But we'd rather be putting out our magazine. And so I'm really excited to say that we will.
And we'll be talking about that in our next conversation.
I hope so, Mark. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.